Chapter 2. Consolidation of the Publishing Work. Important Principles in Institutional Organization. The subject of consolidating our publishing work to bring it under one management has been presented to me, and I have been shown what the outcome would be. It would result in bringing all the publishing houses under the control of a man-made power at Battle Creek, which already has far too extensive a rule. It will be urged that since the publishing interest in Battle Creek is under the supervision of the General Conference, matters are placed on a different basis, and that the objections to consolidation are removed. But the same influences that have been leading away from the principles upon which our publishing institutions were founded are still working. There is a change of name, but to a great degree the management is the same. It is no time for any institution among us to act out the principles of Rome in seeking to bring everything under its own control. There must be no confederacy to ignore the individuality of the publishing work on the Pacific coast. Let not our brethren attempt to submerge the identity of the Pacific Press in the publishing house at Battle Creek, thinking to increase the strength of both. The Pacific Press has been led to depend too largely upon Battle Creek. Its managers should have discerned the talents to be found on the Pacific coast, and would have shown true wisdom in securing all the ability possible in order to make their work a complete whole. Let the Battle Creek Publishing House and the Pacific Press regard each other as sister institutions. In cooperation, they can exert a healthful influence upon each other, but not in consolidation. These institutions are not to become merged into one. The light that I have had for years is that these institutions must stand separate, each preserving its own individuality. A nearer relation than this will tend to the injury of both. I fear that the managers of the Pacific Press have accepted propositions without the careful and prayerful consideration which should have been given them. No proposition should be accepted, no matter whence it may come, unless it is definitely stated in writing and a copy given to the managers of each institution. Then let several of the leading men together bring the matter before the Lord, spread out the writing before Him, and with earnest prayer seek for clear discernment and sharp discrimination to decide whether the plans proposed are for the glory of God and the good of both institutions. As you ask for wisdom, believe that you receive, and you shall have, for God has promised it. I repeat, the fact that the General Conference has taken the control of the publishing work does not remove the objection to consolidation. July, 1896. To the men in responsible positions in Battle Creek, Granville, New South Wales. September, 1895. Dear brethren, consolidation means that all institutions are to be merged into the Battle Creek institutions. For years, something of this kind has been proposed by one and another. But according to the light I have had, the plan is wrong, decidedly wrong. Let every institution stand in its own individuality, doing its respective work in its own locality. The Pacific Press should stand in its own moral independence, carrying on its work beyond the Rocky Mountains, in a little world of its own. See later testimony, page 25. Its managers are responsible to God to do their work as in full view of the universe of heaven. Men are coming to trust in men, and to make flesh their arm. And when that arm is not linked in the arm of Christ, they will find that they are leaning upon a broken reed. The publishing houses were established in America in the Council of God, under His direction and supervision, and they should stand in their own individuality, as sister institutions. Never should they be so related to each other that one shall have power to control the running of the other. If one institution shall adopt a policy which the other does not sanction, the other institution is not to be corrupted, but is to stand in its God-given responsibility, true to the principles that were expressed in its establishment, and carrying forward the work in harmony with those principles. Every institution should work in harmony with the other institutions, but farther than this, they should not go toward confederacy or merging into one. Already there are men who, supposing themselves wise, are trying to shape matters according to their ideas. Things may for a time appear to prosper in their hands, but the result will be that which they do not now anticipate. When every institution is merged into the one that is greatest, that is, measured by her power of control, that one will indeed be a ruling power. And if the principles of action in the most powerful institution are corrupted, as is now the case, and as has been in the history of the past, every other institution must follow the same path, else a determined influence will be brought to bear against it. The difficulty is not in the institution, but in the members. This position to press men into hard places if you cannot bring them to your ideas is not according to God's order. Those who do this when it suits them are bringing souls into unbelief and temptation and driving them on Satan's battlefield. They forget that God will deal with them as they deal with their fellow men. God's cause is not to be molded by one man or half a dozen men. God's instrumentalities are not chosen of men or under their jurisdiction. They are to prepare a people to stand in the day of the Lord. By no sharp dealing or underhand advantage is the Lord to be glorified or his truth served. Money acquired in this way to supply the treasury will benefit no one, for God will not serve with the sins of oppression and selfishness. It should be written on the conscience, as with a pen of iron upon a rock, that no man can achieve true success while violating the eternal principles of right. There must be a cleansing of the institutions similar to Christ's cleansing of the temple of old. It is written, saith the Lord, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. There are in our institutions today transactions similar to those that took place in the temple court in Christ's time, and all heaven is looking on. The publishing houses were brought into existence in a spirit of sacrifice, and no persons should have been permitted to hold a responsible position in the work who desired to work according to the world's policy. The consecration and purity of the worker will be evidenced by the principles manifested in his attitude toward every child of God. The publishing house was established for the purpose of doing business upon the principles of justice and equity, judging every case without partiality and without hypocrisy. In our institutions, the Spirit of Christ was to be a witness to the world of the character of God, a living epistle, known and read of all men. God requires every man to be punctual, just, and without guile in his lips or in his heart. Be righteous in all dealings with your fellow men, if you would have not only the name, but the character of a Christian. Those who depart from Bible principles and vindicate their defects as righteous have never received the true knowledge of Christ or the experience of being in truth doers of the Word. There is nothing in the Word of God that glosses over or excuses one phase of selfishness, one approach to overreaching or dishonesty. To the General Conference Committee and the publishing boards of the Review and Herald and Pacific Press, William Street, Granville, April 8, 1894. Dear brethren, I would address to you words of counsel. I have received a letter from Brother Jones in reference to changes which it is proposed to make in the publication of our periodicals. Questions are asked in reference to these matters. One is, shall our periodicals be combined in one paper or magazine? I cannot see wisdom in the policy of having all our periodicals combined in one paper or magazine. Each of our periodicals has its own place and is to do a specific work. Let our brethren inquire, has the necessity of this work and its object changed? If you think so, then wherein? The present is a time of special peril. In 1890 and 1891, there was presented to me a view of dangers that would threaten the work. Propositions which to their authors appeared very wise would be introduced, looking to the formation of a confederacy that would make Battle Creek, like Rome, the great head of the work, and enable the office of publication there to swallow up everything in the publishing line among us. This is not God's wisdom, but human wisdom. Those matters have been coming up again and again in different aspects, but this policy of consolidation would, if adopted, result in marring the work. God would have his work move firmly and solidly, but no one branch is to interfere with or absorb other branches of the same great work. From time to time for years, in the past, God has been pleased to give me special light on these points. I was shown that the small periodicals, as well as the larger ones, are to come forth from the publishing houses and be scattered like the leaves of autumn to answer the wants of the cause in its growth and extension. The work of publication was represented to me by the figure which Christ used, the vine. In the different branches of this great work, as in the branches of the vine, there is to be unity in diversity. This is God's plan, the principle that runs through the entire universe. In God's wise arrangement, there is diversity, and yet He has so related each part to others that all work in harmony to carry out His great plan in extending the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ whom He hath sent. However there may appear to be dissimilarity, the work is one great whole and bears the stamp of infinite wisdom. God and Christ are one. Christ and His disciples are one. We in Christ and Christ in God. Each branch bears its burden of fruit, and all together make a harmonious whole, a complete, beautiful unity. This is harmony according to the Lord's order. Warnings have been given me that the publishing house on the Pacific coast should not, in thought, word, or deed, depreciate the office at Battle Creek. Neither should the publishing house at Battle Creek look with envy and jealousy upon the instrumentalities the Lord has established upon the Pacific coast. Plans should be carefully considered in Battle Creek, that they may in no case militate against the work in Oakland. I understand something about these two institutions, for my husband and I had to lead out in establishing them and carrying them forward. The Lord gave special directions as to how they should be conducted. These principles I have not withheld from those who were numbered as believers in the truth. The work has been presented to me as, at its beginning, a small, very small rivulet. The representation was given to the prophet Ezekiel of waters issuing from under the threshold of the house eastward at the south side of the altar. Please read Ezekiel 47, Mark verse 8. This work was represented to me as extending to the east and to the north, to the islands of the sea, and to all parts of the world. As the work increases, there will be a great and living interest to be managed by human instrumentalities. The work is not to be centered in any one place, not even in Battle Creek. Human wisdom argues that it is more convenient to build up the interest where it has already obtained character and influence. Mistakes have been made in this line. Individuality and personal responsibility are thus repressed and weakened. The work is the Lord's, and the strength and efficiency are not all to be concentrated in any one place. To the Pacific Press. 20 years ago, 1876, I was surprised at the cautions and warnings given me in reference to the publishing house on the Pacific coast. That it was ever to remain independent of all other institutions, that it was to be controlled by no other institution, but was to do the Lord's work under His guidance and protection. It must maintain its own individuality and be strictly guarded from any corruption. It must not be merged into any other institution. The hand of power and control at Battle Creek must not reach across the continent to manage it. At a later date, just prior to my husband's death, the minds of some were agitated in regard to placing these institutions under one presiding power. Again, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind what had been stated to me by the Lord. I told my husband to say, in answer to this proposition, that the Lord had not planned any such action. He who knows the end from the beginning understands these matters better than erring man. At a still later date, the situation of the publishing house at Oakland was again presented to me. I was shown that a work was to be done by this institution, which would be to the glory of God if the workers would keep His honor ever in view, but that an error was being committed by taking in a class of work which had a tendency to corrupt the institution. I was also shown that it must stand in its own independence, working out God's plan, under the control of none other but God. The Lord presented before me that branches of this work would be planted in other places and carried on under the supervision of the Pacific Press, but that if this proved a success, jealousy, evil surmisings, and covetousness would arise. Efforts would be made to change the order of things and embrace the work among other interests at Battle Creek. Men are very zealous to change the order of things, but the Lord forbids such a consolidation. Every branch should be allowed to live and do its own work. Mistakes will occur in every institution, but if the managers will learn the lesson all must learn, to move guardedly, these errors will not be repeated, and God will preside over the work. Every worker in our institutions needs to make the Word of God his rule of action. Then the blessing of God will rest on him. He cannot with safety dispense with the truth of God as his guide and monitor. If man can take one breath without being dependent upon God, then he may lay aside God's pure, holy word as guidebook. The truth must take control of the conscience and the understanding in all the work that is done. The Holy Spirit must preside over thought and word and deed. It is to direct in all temporal and spiritual actions. It is well-pleasing to God that we have praise and prayer and religious services, but Bible religion must be brought into all we do and give sanctity to each daily duty. The Lord's will must become man's will in everything. The Holy One of Israel has given rules of guidance to all, and these rules of guidance are to be strictly followed, for they form the standard of character. No one can swerve from the first principles of righteousness without sinning. But our religion is misinterpreted and despised by unbelievers, because so many who profess to hold the truth do not practice its principles in dealing with their fellow men. If those connected with the work of God will not hear His voice and do His will, they should be separated entirely from the work. God does not need the influence of such men. I speak plainly, for it is time that things were called by their right name. Those who love and fear God with all their hearts are the only men that God can trust. But those who have separated their souls from God should themselves be separated from the work of God, which is so solemn and so important. May, 1896. Extracts from personal letters from Mrs. E. G. White to Jones. Currumbong, New South Wales, July 8, 1895. Dear Brother Jones, there is need for the Pacific Press to stand in God, subject to no human power of control in their action. You are not to hold yourself to seek permission of the authorities of Battle Creek whether you shall or shall not pursue a line of work that seems impressed upon you to do. The Lord is the one to whom you are to be amenable. All the light heretofore given me of God is that these institutions out of Battle Creek should not be absorbed by Battle Creek. It would be an injury to both parties. Each is to stand in harmony one with the other, yet preserve their individuality of action, responsible to God and Him alone. If one pursues a course of selfish action, or of absorbing everything by just or unjust means, my voice cannot be silent. I shall be heard, for God has given me His word. I look upon consolidation in unity and helpfulness of one another as sound principle, but I do not and cannot give my influence to consolidation in blending the institutions in one great whole. I tell you in the fear of God, stand in God to do His will, to keep the ways of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Let there be no betrayal of sacred trusts on your part. Walk humbly and softly before God. If God sees the least injustice done to one of His children, He will punish for these things. The Lord God is ruler of the world, ruler of His own subjects. God would have the Pacific Press Publishing House stand free and clear and untrammeled by any power. God would have every one of His institutions rise above the frosty atmosphere in which the human agent will be if left to himself. Inclined to live and breathe, he must live and breathe in the holy, pure, life-giving atmosphere of heaven, else sentiments and plans and resolutions will clog and impede our heavenly advance movements. Currumbong, New South Wales, August 2, 1895. I beg of you and all the officials at the Pacific Press to know that every move you make is in the light of the counsel of God. The moves being made of consolidation mean placing all your powers under the jurisdiction of the powers in office at Battle Creek. I say, God forbid that you should adopt the plans and be controlled by the principles that have ruled them like the laws of the Medes and Persians. God has presented to me, which I have presented to you, that the Pacific Press should stand on its own individuality, relying upon God, doing its work in God, as His instrumentality, the human agent working with God, contrite in spirit, meek and lowly in heart, ready to be taught of God, but not subject to any earthly power that shall propose plans and ways that are not after the light God has given. Be on guard. Be on guard, and do not sell your religious liberty to any office or to any man, or board or council of men.